You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com. Let's get to Guy Flaming on the Pipeline Show and the Pipecast. The Memorial Cup gets going this weekend. Flamer, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Got my jean shorts on, ready to go.
Does not surprise me. You and Struds are both jean short guys. I get it.
I don't actually have jean shorts. I just thought that happened to be the dress code for the guest or something.
Yeah, well, thankfully no. Thankfully no. But one of the co-hosts, sadly, it is. The Memorial Cup this year, pretty wide open, it looks like, at least on paper. Which team do you like?
Yeah, I agree. I think it is pretty tough to call. I did make my predictions on my last show. I have ears.
Well, see, somebody probably knocked him over because he was wearing jean shorts. They just pushed him over. His phone disconnected. Flamin', are you good now? You got some good reception. You rub your phone on your jean shorts. Everything's good now.
Yeah, it must be. I'm out in the sticks, and maybe that has something to do with it. Sorry, what did I get out?
Nothing.
Okay. Erie is the team that I've picked to win. I have them beating St. John in the final. But you're right. I think the tournament is extremely close this year. Windsor's been off forever, but I have such a strong team. The layoff has actually allowed them to get healthy. It's not a situation. Remember when Saskatoon was hosting and they lost out in the first round? That's not this club. Windsor is very, very good. And the Seattle Thunderbirds, they might not have as many drafted players and experience and a veteran team, much like the other three clubs do. But they're scary good, too, and they're going to surprise a lot of people, I think.
Well, Ethan Bear, Oiler fans, will be watching the Memorial Cup, and they'll be watching him very closely. As an outstanding season. He's had an excellent postseason. And, you know, rare to see even now a defenseman that can lead a team in scoring at any point, you know, in a playoff or anything like that. He's been outstanding.
Yeah, well, Keegan Colazar led them in scoring, but he's been really, really strong this year, all throughout the season, and I think has really rounded out his game. I think the offensive side has always been there, but I think even for a not a big guy, he does play physical as well, and there's lots to like about him, but every team in this tournament has an Ethan Bear, and in fact, you might argue, Thomas Chabot and Mikhail Sergachev are two first-round picks. They are a notch ahead, or two or three notches ahead of where Ethan Bear is right now. And Darren Radish with the Erie Otters, he had 81 points this season compared to Bear's 70. So, you know, as good a season as Ethan Bear has had, I don't think you can look at that and say, well, that gives Seattle an advantage, because every team has an Ethan Bear on it.
Guy, I want to go back to the Windsor Spitfire for just a quick second. We're joined by Guy Flaming from the Pipeline Show and the Pipecast, previewing the 2017 Memorial Cup. Rocky Thompson, how responsible is Coach Thompson for the Windsor Spitfires getting, well, I know they're hosting the Memorial Cup, but how responsible has he been for their success this season?
It's funny, because we all think of Rocky Thompson as this minor league player who is basically a goon. I think as a coach, he's a fantastic coach. He's really cerebral. And the players on his club that I've spoken with, in fact, Gabe Velarde, who's going to be a top five, maybe top 10 pick this year, credited him a lot with helping bring his development along and the team as a whole. I think I think Rocky Thompson deserves a ton of credit for what he's done as a coach. And I think, you know, it might surprise a lot of people. He doesn't have the blue mohawk and stuff anymore. I think he's pretty well respected in as a coach now.
What do you make of Sean Day and how he's played? Of course, came over from Mississauga this season. You know, he's the prime example, I think, of why people should never get that excited too early on players. It's not his fault. I just think nowadays we're always looking for the next great player way too early than we should be, and he's a prime example of that. Probably shouldn't even have been an exception player request if you look back on it. But how has he fared landing in Windsor?
Well, I think the move to Windsor was good for him. He had a really tough draft year. His brother was arrested the summer prior, so he had a lot of off-ice distractions, and I know he put on a lot of weight, and he wasn't there mentally, I don't think. And this season, after being drafted and getting traded to the Spitfires, I think it's been a good season for him. I think he started to get his game back, and people I've spoken with have said he's had a good year, and that's a bounce back season for him. But you're right. I think expectations were really through the roof for him. He was given he's one of those exceptional status players where he was able to play in the OHL as a 15-year-old, and so the expectations were pretty high for him, and the pressure I believe may have got to him, but. He's a good player. He's big. He's got lots of size and skates like the wind. So he's got the raw potential there. He's got the tools. He's just got to put it all together.
Out of all four teams in the tournament coming up this weekend, Guy, who do you think is the best draft-eligible player heading into the tournament?
Well, it's got to be Gabe Vilardi. He's ranked in the top five by NHL Central Scouting, so it would have to be him. They also have one of the better goaltenders available this year in Michael DiPietro. He's a bit undersized. He's not that 6'2", 6'3", 6'5", prototypical guy, just under 6 feet tall, but really athletic and a battler. So I think both of those guys are the top two of the players in the tournament this year. They're probably the first two guys who get chosen. But most teams have somebody. Seattle's got a few guys. Jared Tishka, the defenseman, Sammy Moilanen, a Finnish import. I still think Alexander True is going to get drafted this year. He was eligible last season, but the big Dane had a strong campaign for the Seattle Thunderbirds and really good in the playoffs. So Seattle's got some guys that'll be taken as well.
Guy Flaming joins us. Guy, Regina, of course, was a dominant team all season long. Seattle's pretty good themselves. They knocked out the Pats in six. You look at Pat's lineup now, they lose their 20-year-olds. I suspect a few of their 19-year-olds are going to turn pro. What do you make of that team hosting the Memorial Cup? How many additions do you think they're going to have to make to be a legit contender?
Well, I think the host always makes additions over the course of the season, and I think there will be that situation for the Pats again this coming year. But, Sam Steele, I believe, can return, and I don't know that he makes the Anaheim Ducks next season, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that would I don't think he's AHL eligible just yet. I could be wrong on that.
No, Steele's not AHL. No, he's got to go back to WHL.
He's not making the Ducks next season, I don't think, at least. So you get him back. Yeah, they'll lose Adam Brooks, and they'll lose Austin Wagner and players like that. As well, the overage that they got from the Everett Silvertips, Dawson Lidl. Those guys will be big losses for sure, but they still have Josh Maher on the back end. Their goaltending won't change. So that's still going to be a very good team. They'll be able to plug the holes over the summer and early into next year. I don't imagine that's going to be much of a challenge for John Paddock. That'll still be a contending team.
Coaching changes in the Western Hockey League. Constantine's gone in Everett, which, hey, I hate to say it, I don't ever want to see anybody lose their job per se, but he was terrible for hockey, in my opinion, and how defensive-oriented he was and barking out defensive systems on the bench and different things like that. I don't think any offensive player could ever flourish there under him. Do you think we'll see any other moves, or is the coaching carousel not going to be that busy this season?
I don't think it's going to be as busy as it has been in the last two or three years. Some of the clubs have really settled on their guys, like Vancouver, who that's been a coaching carousel in itself the last half a decade or so. They're going to be settled now. So and Everett did fill that spot. They brought in a coach from the USHL who was in Bloomington with the Thunder, who same ownership group, the Everett Silvertips and the Bloomington Thunder, two different leagues, but same owners, so kind of promoting from within there. I don't know if we should expect too many changes. I know Calgary is looking for a new general manager, and maybe that changes things once they bring someone in. But outside of that, you're right. I don't think it will be nearly as busy this year as it has been the last number in terms of coaches.
The Memorial Cup format now, where it's one game a day, do you think that's better? Or would they be better to shorten the format? I know I understand TV and everything, but do you think it would be better to just have a shorter window with two games a day?
Well, you could do two games a day, but you'd still have to give the off days in between, or else you'd be asking teams to start playing five or six games over the course of, 8 days? That wouldn't be great for the quality of hockey. So I think you still need the days off, the rest period for the clubs. So if you shorten the schedule, I don't think that would lead to a better tournament, and you might have more injuries and things. So, no, I like it the way it is.
And looking at the upcoming draft, I know you've saw it a lot. Patrick, is he the guy you think Devils take number one?
Patrick or Nico Hischier, depending on what happens at the combine. I know all the teams will want to talk to Nolan Patrick and get medical reports and make sure that whatever issues he's dealing with aren't going to be lingering. And if that's not the case and he's a given clean bill of health and all those types of things, I would have to think Nolan Patrick's the first guy, but Nico Hischier from the Halifax Moosehead, Swiss import, really, really skilled and talented, won't be the fine. It's a pretty fine line between these two guys. So I think if there's any question with Patrick, Hischier's a safe bet.
And what about some local kids? You know, Edmonton and Erie have had, like last season, there's quite a few of them that were drafted. Who are some of the local products that the Edmonton fans maybe should be paying attention to?
No, I wish I knew that question was coming. I would have looked them up. Off the top of my head, I don't have a list of local guys in front of me. But as there usually is, a plethora of Edmonton-born and bred products or guys, at least from the surrounding area. But sorry, Jason, I don't have a list in front of me.
But it's not as – like last year, you know, there was Steele and Benson and, you know, quite a few other – Mahura and lots of guys who went early in the draft. I haven't – there's not as many this year. Like, obviously, there's Cale Makar from Brooks in the AJHL, but he's not from Edmonton. Like, there's not going to be as many necessarily early in the draft.
No, Cale Makar from the Bandits is – I mean, you can look at Western Canadians that are going to go early. But an Edmonton area kid, there isn't a name that immediately comes to me, but there will be good representation from the WHL and from the AJHL this year. Ian Mitchell could go.
Yeah.
I mean,
from
with
St. Albert?
Bruce Grove, or with the Saints. He's from Kalahoo. He should be, you know, a top 45, at least top two rounds kind of guy. But so he's the first one that comes to mind for me.
Now, from the Dub, you've got Cody Glass. Obviously, you have Nolan Patrick. Yamamoto out of Spokane possibly could find himself in the first round. Cole Lind, is that somebody from Kelowna Rasmussen? Are those the five guys you think for the Dub that are for sure to go in the first round, or anyone else?
And Michael Rasmussen, is how he pronounces it. Cody Glass, you mentioned, will be an interesting one, a bit of a wild card who – like Ryan Johansson in his draft year, kind of his stock just kept going and going and going. Interesting, they both played for Portland in their draft year. So Cody Glass could be an interesting one, could be a top 10 pick, might slip out of the top 10. But I think he's bound to go for sure. Michael Rasmussen, who we talked about, Patrick's a given. Cal Foote, I think, he'll be a first-round pick. I don't know where he goes, though, whether he's in the top 15 or maybe slides out of that top 15 spot. Yamamoto is small but skilled, and so it always will be a bit of a draft day wild card. But I think, yeah, those five guys and Cole Lind maybe at the tail end of that first round, but throw Cale Makar as a Western Canadian into that mix out of the AJHL, and the West will be well represented.
Usually, you know, top five I don't call as a wild card. Maybe from the 15 to 31 range, now that we have 31 teams drafting. Who is your guy that you like the most, who's not necessarily going to be a big star right away, but you think could, you know, we've seen a lot of players. We're talking about Perry and Getzlaff, guys, you know, who weren't taken in the top 15 that emerged a few years later as dominant players. Anyone that you like, not a guarantee, but you like in that 15 to 31 range?
Yes, there are always those types of players. I think guys who might not have the flash and dash. Ryan Poehling, who plays at St. Cloud State, might not have the offensive numbers this year, but he's a big forward, and as a young player at the NCAA level, is maybe a guy whose numbers didn't reflect his upside. I think Ryan Poehling's probably one of those types of players. Isaac Radcliffe is an interesting guy, plays with Guelph, and he's huge, 6'6". And 200 pounds and can score. So a player like that, I'm interested with Nicholas Haig, another OHL guy, a big defenseman on the back end, 6'6". And I think that size will attract a lot of people. So players like that who might not always get the big offensive recognition but are key guys, I think, for professional level because of their well-rounded game and maybe the offensive numbers don't necessarily make them stand out.
Flamer, have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.